The first scripture reading is in the book of Genesis, the 22nd chapter. We read verses 1 through 18. After these things, God tested Abraham and said it to him, "Abraham," he said, "Here am I." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place from afar. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father?" And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they, both of them, went together. When they came to the place which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar, on the top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. The angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his own son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "The mount of the Lord, it shall be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. Your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the letter of James. We read chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. Sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. His own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. We should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is written in the Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. We begin reading at verse 9. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. When he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Believe in the gospel." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today, one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, describing the essence of the preaching of Christ. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." This is our text. Those of you who have been hanging around me for the last 20 or 10 years, or maybe even 5 years, know that this particular verse is a very important one in terms of our Christian understandings. The preaching of Christ is not change what you do. The word repent literally means, as you've heard me say so many times before, change how you think. And of course, I think all of you are well aware of the real meaning of the word gospel. More literal translation of the word gospel is good news. Change how you think and believe good news. You've heard me say this many times before. And in the first place, God wants us to change how we think about him. To change how we think about him and believe that God is always good to us. So many verses of Scripture support this kind of thinking. For instance, from Romans 8, "God is at work in everything for good for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose." It's when we believe in this goodness of God, that he's always at work for our good, that the power to change what we do in life actually becomes possible. And you can see it in our Old Testament lesson, for instance. Anybody who's attended Sunday school for more than a year or two knows this story about Abraham. And not surprisingly, most people, when they encounter this story for the first time, think Abraham must have been a little bit crazy. To take his son Isaac and to be willing to sacrifice him for God. That almost sounds like insanity, doesn't it? But through his life experience of God with God, Abraham had learned to think about God differently than the natural human being does. He knew that this God who had been with him throughout all his 100-plus years of life always was working for his good. And so while we as natural, sinful human beings have made the request by God to go and sacrifice one of our kids, we'd find it very hard to do. But you hear of no objection from Abraham, because he had learned to think about God so differently. What was on his mind when he was about ready to plunge the knife into his heart, the heart of his own son? The author of the letter to the Hebrews gives us a possible clue. Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able to raise him from the dead, from which, and most English versions don't translate the word correctly. If you look, for instance, in our ESV, it says, he considered that God was able to even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Natural, literal translation of that is not figuratively speaking, but in a parable. Everywhere else parable is found in the New Testament, it's translated, guess. Parable. Not here. But apparently, and I've actually come across the legend, there are some legends that of the Jews, and many of them often stray far in afield from the ancient texts of the Bible, that Abraham actually did kill Isaac, that God did raise him from the dead. So there was, if you will, a parable, possibly current at the time of the writing of the letter of Hebrews, that Abraham had actually killed him. But Abraham, even if he had done that, still wouldn't have worried. Why? Because he knew God was good. Even if he killed him, he would have reasoned, God will raise him back for me, because God is always faithful to his promises. Now, to the world, that's kind of insane thinking, isn't it? But it's not if you believe that God is always good. Repent. Believe the good news. In the first place, we always need to remember the good news about God, that he loves us, that he forgives us, that he will raise us from the dead, and that, yes, in everything that happens in life, for those who love him, who are called according to his purpose, God is at work for good. But here's where we really mess up with that whole concept. We may come around to that thinking that God is always at work for our good, but when we consider other people, when we talk about our day with others, when we listen to the news, repenting and believing good news, changing how you think and believing good news, is not how we always behave. May I introduce you to Debbie Downer? You know Debbie Downer? She has various roles. She's a newscaster, and depending upon which channel you're listening to, she can say nothing good about the Democrats, and if you turn the channel, she can say nothing good about the Republicans. If you encounter her after she's been working all day, she can only tell you about things that went wrong at work. She talks about her family members. She can only talk about things that they've done wrong. How many of you know Debbie Downer in some shape, way? There's a lot of them out there, and you know what? Sometimes that's who we are. There is good news out there. And maybe when we're thinking about God, we think about good things. But when it comes to thinking about others, when it comes to thinking about our day-to-day life, when it comes to thinking about our work, when it comes to politics, all we can think about is bad news. But believing in good news just doesn't extend to the way we think about God. Let me share with you some other passages of Scripture. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. After people get done listening to you jabber, they always think that they've gotten grace. Or just a few verses later, Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Or from Titus 3:1. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. You believe in the good news about God. Good. You believe in the good news about others. Maybe not so much. But changing how we think and believing good news, not speaking evil of one another, getting rid of the bitterness, the wrath, the anger in our speech, not quarreling, but being gentle, When a conversation ends with someone, let it be said that they heard grace from our lips. That's how God calls upon us to speak in this world. Because He created us to be His image. He could say a lot of bad things about us, you know. But one day when we stand before Him, if He wanted to go down the list of all the reasons that He shouldn't do anything for us, well, that list was probably stretched around the world several times. But that's not who God is. That's not what He's redeemed us to be. Change how you think. And believe good news. Believe that God loves you. Believe that He's forgiven you your sins. Believe that He has a place for you in heaven. Believe that He's always at work in your life, even when it seems like it must be impossible. But yes, even when He calls upon you to do unthinkable things, He has a good and gracious plan for you. But don't let your belief in good news stop there. Because God doesn't want you to let it stop there. Let the evil talk stop. The anger, the malice, the hatred. And when we speak with others, let it be said by them, they heard grace from our lips. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.